On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. In front of him, there was a man suffering from dropsy. Jesus spoke to the scholars of the law and the Pharisees in reply, asking, "Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath or not?" They kept silent. So he took the man, and after he had healed him, dismissed him. Then he said to them, "Who among you, if your son or ox falls into a cistern, would not immediately pull him out on a Sabbath day?" But they were unable to answer his question. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, as I said, I've been spending a lot of time recently in trying to describe what would make confession or the sacrament of reconciliation a more satisfying experience instead of just another obligation and the cause of a vague form of guilt for people who have simply evolved away from the practice of what we used to call frequent confession. I'm finding that the journey of Jesus up to Jerusalem and his focus on preparing the apostles for what will happen there is a good scriptural background for our understanding of our call as followers of Jesus and the place of his mercy in our lives. Today's encounter with the Pharisees and the cure of the man with dropsy, a sort of concentration of fluids that we still experience in different illnesses, helps set the stage for Jesus' teachings. The cure takes place on the Sabbath, and Jesus appeals to common sense over ritual exactness to help establish what should be the climate of our judgments as we learn to respect religious laws and customs. As he travels three times, Jesus declares that he will have to undergo an extreme test in Jerusalem, and he's leading his disciples into a more complete understanding of his role as our Redeemer. In our Roman Catholic tradition, we observe or celebrate the redemptive acts of Jesus, his crucifixion, death, and resurrection on our behalf, every time we offer the Eucharist or participate in the Mass. Confession, the sacrament of penance, is a traditional way of preparing to participate in communion. A person confesses his or her sins, most especially the serious ones, and then is ready to receive communion. While the focus on communion is more popular than ever, there's been a definite falling off in the sacrament of reconciliation or confession for many Catholics. I find it helpful to ask, what am I to expect as I approach such an experience as confession? Certainly, there is a sense of satisfaction as one would name and express sorrow for the sins and negative things that one has done. But for many people, this just doesn't seem enough. And when I think about what might be a really successful confession, I need to think in more positive terms. It is really a positive and liberating experience to exactly name and deal with the evil I have caused, and to express this to a sympathetic listener, the confessor. But something more is needed. It's been my experience that this happens in a really successful confessional experience. One needs to deal with the shadow side of things, certainly. But one also needs to declare, in a positive way, the good things about the choices they have made and the positive struggle they're engaged in before life's challenges and uncertainties. Though not a form for boasting, the confessional experience can indicate growth in making better choices, avoiding destructive behaviors, and yes, a certain discovery of holiness of life. This seems especially true when a person is known to the confessor in the context of one's growth here is familiar to them. William Saroyan tells us, good people are good because they come to wisdom through failure. Interesting. But this can happen, this growth and expression, even in the secrecy of confession. I'm amazed how often over many, many years of hearing people that when they approach the sacrament, as confessor, I really have no idea who they are, especially if they use the confessional box. And yet, as they begin to tell their story, I can identify their style or history. And say, oh, yes, there's that person again. Amazing thing for me who forgets so much. This allows the confessor to both sympathize with the burdens and challenges of the tenetan, but most especially to encourage and bless the effort and progress that's been made. We're approaching a moment when a person declares before God not only negative experiences, but a fuller act of love and recognition that has brought them to confession in the first place. Such a confession requires a good deal of energy and attentiveness on the part of the confessor. The right sort of encouragement can create a climate of trust and prayerful recognition in which the penitent is present to God in a way that's beyond guilt or fear, or worst of all, some sort of humdrum repetition. The penitent has made a breakthrough, a thorough statement of any failures, but then advanced into the freedom and mercy which the sacrament provides. They are, we might say, touched by the divine. Yes, it can be agonizing and distasteful every few months to serve up my failings and for a pro forma ritual absolution. Something as annoying as paying one's taxes. But from time to time, to use the recognition of my failings to advance beyond any sorrow for the harm done into that more life-filled space of God's mercy, to declare who it is that I really hope to be. Now, this is something of extraordinary value. Perhaps I need such a liberating experience a little bit more often. Listen to this reflection from another tradition. Dag Hammarskjöld reminds us, humility is just as much the opposite of self-abasement as it is of self-exaltation. To be humble is not to make comparisons. Secure in its reality, the self is neither better nor worse, bigger nor smaller than anything else in the universe. It is nothing, yet at the same time is one with everything. May God bless you with such freedom.